All right, today we continue on our series on spiritual warfare, and this is the part 3 of that series. I'll be preaching and teaching. Okay, that's like Jesus did. He went about preaching and teaching the word of God. Hallelujah. Now, before we look into that, I just wanted to say this by the Holy Spirit. I believe it's a word of utterance that just come to me. It usually happens like that when I just take the stage. You know, and God is having me to remind you that the victory you need in life is not just about earthly things. Yeah? What you will eat, what you will drink, what you will wear, where you will live, how much in your bank account. Amen? He said, Jesus told them, he said, don't worry about all these things. You know why? Because unbelievers also do the same. So what's the difference between a believer and an unbeliever? If you are judging your life by your achievements and your possessions, you are no different from someone who doesn't know God. In fact, actually, people who don't know God, they tend to judge their life more by their achievement and possessions. So if all you are serving God for is achievements and possessions that are earthly, you have not gotten the message. Amen? There is something greater than earthly goals and dreams and ambition. And it's the kingdom. The kingdom of God is the greatest business in life. Are you with me? The kingdom of God is the greatest business in life. It's the most important business in life. Hallelujah. When Jesus came, he came preaching about the kingdom. Hallelujah. And the reason is because that is the purpose that will outlast every other purpose. So whatever we do, whatever earthly thing we do, must contribute to the kingdom. Otherwise, it's useless. Hello? Where you are today, the home you have, the family you have, the job you're doing, the friends you have, they are all points of contact for God to use you to advance the kingdom. Amen? By you being there, somebody will get saved because you came. Somebody will get healed because you came. Somebody will get delivered, set free from an oppression or depression because you are there and you influence them. Are you with me? Somebody's situation will be transformed because you are there. Somebody's need will be met because you are there. That's how the kingdom moves forward. It's not just about you and what you will eat and what you will wear and where you will be and party. It's about the kingdom. So everything that comes in your way in life is an opportunity for God to use you to advance the kingdom. I know what the kingdom is. The Bible says that in Romans chapter 14, verse 17. It said the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. Or let me make it more modern. The kingdom of God is not food and drink only. Okay? That doesn't mean we should not eat and drink. But it is what? Righteousness. And what? Peace. And what? Joy in the Holy Ghost. And so that's the word of God for you as we go into this sermon. So last week, we looked at the armor of God and we're able to study about the belt or the girdle of truth, and also about the shoes of preparation or readiness. So let's do a quick recap. Can someone remind me the meaning of truth and how it is a belt or girdle for your life, for your Christian life or spiritual life? Remember that, Sean, you were not there last week. Yeah? So I would be very interested if you could get the answer. Remember, we treated it last week. So this is really for those who were here in the sermon last week or those who listened online. Because I know only very few people listen. Very. Sometimes it's one or two. And you're not really helping yourself. Yeah? You get that email, but you don't listen. You know what you've lost? The opportunity to meditate. So you just know it in your head. You won't get the revelation because you did not listen again. Or you did not even listen at all. So God, I always say that when God wants to work in your life, he will give you resources. If you like, don't use it. God has done his part. Are you with me? Yeah? You have the responsibility to make use of the resources that God provides you. It's God's job to give you resources. It's your job to use it well. So just say, it's God's job to give me resources. It's my job to use it well. Hallelujah. So, can you remind me of and define what truth is, as we defined last week, and why it is a girdle or a belt for your spiritual, for your life? Yes, Sean?
Is it because a belt always clings to you as truth should always cling to a true Christian?
Find what truth is.
Saying and doing the right thing.
Okay. Again, like I'm just recapping from last. Who can do that? What we taught last week? What truth is and how it is a girdle or a belt for your life.
Yeah. Truth is revelation. Truth is spoken, revealed word of God to us.
No, that's not what we said last week. That's what you said last week, but that's not what we concluded. Okay, we'll get to that. I know you like revelation. Yes, who can remind me? Who was here that can remind me what truth is and why it's a ghetto for your life? Let me remind. Sir PG, you were there? Okay, you got it. Right. Go on.
Actually, I added truth is the he said the balanced doctrine.
It's sound doctrine.
Sound doctrine, based on balanced knowledge of the word.
Truth is sound doctrine, based on the balanced knowledge of God's word. And how is it a girdle for your life? Or why is it a belt for your life? What does a belt do? It holds you firm and secure. Amen. A girdle or a belt holds you firm and what? Secure. So how does truth, which is sound doctrine, yeah, based on the balance of God's word, keep you firm and secure?
You can't be tossed to and fro.
You can't be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. You go somewhere, they say something, say, yeah, that sounds nice. You go somewhere, they say, yeah, that sounds nice. The devil will come and whisper something to you, say, ah, that sounds nice. Hallelujah. When you have a balance of God's word, from the book of Genesis, which is the first book in the Bible, to the book of Revelation, every book is important. If it's not important, God will tear it away and throw it in the bin. Amen? When you have that balanced knowledge, you are secure in life. You are not easily shaken by everything you hear. Amen? Your life becomes firm and secure. Hallelujah. Thank you very much. Everybody put your hands together for Brother Tola. He's tried. You know, thank God for note keeping. Anytime you get something important, make a note. And you don't need a paper. Electronically, you can make a note. Hallelujah. All my sermon notes are in my phone. Hallelujah. I told you, if your phone cannot help you make notes, it's not smart. Hallelujah. Amen. If you cannot take notes in your tablet or your phone, that phone is dumb. It's not smart. So make it smart. You thought you're going to smile, I just say, make it smart. Okay. Now, can somebody remind me of what your shoes are, your spiritual shoes that protect you from landing on a thorn or tripping up in life? Okay? There's something that God has given you or God has made available to you that you can do or be that will help you not to trip up easily. Yeah? Or land on thorns and thistles. Now, we said this last week. It's not like a question for today. It's just a recap. What are your shoes? Again, if you are not here last week, don't attempt because you probably may not know it. Yes, those who were here. I know those who were here last week. So, what are your shoes? Your spiritual shoes? I'm going to have to choose someone. Yeah, come on. If you're here last week, can you see your hands up? 1, 2, 3, 4, many. Yes? You mean like, anybody forgotten what your spiritual shoes are? Yeah? Anybody? Anybody? So you see why, even when you listen to a sermon, you need to listen again. And I know most of you are not listening again. You need to, because you can lose revelation in 1 second. You come to church, you hear it. The moment you're in the car, you could have forgotten. Amen? So let me just do a quick recap on that. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. And we are reading verse 15. Yes? Ephesians 6:15. Can I have it from anyone? Ephesians 6:15. Yes.
And your feet shod with the preparation.
And your feet shod with what?
The preparation.
Stop there, sister. God bless you. Your feet should be shod with what?
Preparation.
Amen. Whatever comes next, just build on that. Amen. Your feet should be shod with what? Preparation. Another version. Ephesians 6:15. Another version. Yes. Sister Amanda, you're welcome. Good to see you here. Naila, you're welcome. Good to see you. God bless you both.
Your feet shod with the preparation. Of
your feet shod with what? Preparation. Let's have another version. Another version.
For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news, so that you'll be fully prepared.
So that you will be fully what? Prepared. Another one. Another version.
And
As shoes
for your feet, having put on the readiness.
Put on what?
The readiness.
Readiness. Sorry. Everything that comes after it builds on that. So what we showed last week is that your spiritual shoes that will help you keep you from going in the wrong path in life, entering into unnecessary danger, stepping on thorns and thistles that you don't need to, that will destabilize. You know, if you don't have shoes on and you step on a thorn, it can destabilize you. You are fighting a battle. No matter how the weapons you have, you step on the thorn, you are destabilized. Are you with me? Do you agree with that? You need to put on readiness or preparation. And that says that the worst attitude you can have in life is not to be willing. If you are not willing to trust God, you are not willing to obey God, you are not willing to serve God, you are not willing to take it further, you don't have zone. And you will go in the wrong path. Because if you don't get busy for God, the devil must keep you busy, because he goes to and fro seeking whom to what? The devil does not wait for invitation. Amen? If the door is open, he will enter. Are you with me? Are you still with me? Let me just explain this, and before we move to the shield of faith, I thought I need to explain it further, because last week I just introduced it and we rushed to the end for time's sake. So, shoes protect your feet or your path from harm. Do you agree with that? Yeah? And they also keep you firm and secure. Now, your readiness or preparedness or willingness to do God's will, to obey God's instructions, to serve God, and to confess Christ before the world will guide your path, and it will preserve your feet from evil. Now, open your Bible to Psalm 23. You know, everybody knows Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. Yes? So let's have it read. Psalm 23, verse 3. I'll show you something there that is hidden in plain sight. Psalm 23, verse 3.
He renews my strength. He guides me along right.
Listen to that. He does what?
My strength.
Then?
He guides me along right
paths. He guides me along right paths. Yes?
Bringing honor to his name.
Bringing what?
Honor
to his name. That means that when I go along the right path, I am bringing honor to what? His name. And when I refuse to follow the guidance of God, what am I doing? I am bringing disgrace to him. I know I'm a child of God, yes. But they are disobedient children of God. Did you know that? Do you know that disobedient children? Now, another version. Psalm 23, verse 3. Yes.
He restored my soul.
Yes.
He leadeth me in the path of righteousness.
He leads me in the path of what?
Righteousness.
Righteousness.
For his name's sake.
For his name's sake. I want to explain something to you about righteousness today, because I don't want to go off with the wrong understanding of righteousness. You see, when God leads you in the path of righteousness, yeah, that is a product of your right standing with him. That's why we say righteousness is what? A right standing with God. When you make Jesus Christ your personal Lord and Savior, you become a child of God. The Holy Spirit comes to live inside you. Now you can receive divine guidance. I'm not just talking about guidance reading the Bible. Inside your spirit, through your conscience, the Holy Spirit can guide you and give you specific instruction, yeah, for your life. Amen? Now, that is only possible because of righteousness. If you are not a child of God, you don't have access to guidance by the Spirit. Yeah? If you get any guidance, it's just mercy. Yeah? But you don't have access to continuous guidance by the Spirit until you become a child of God. But when you are, He is able to guide you. So when God is leading you in the path of righteousness, it's called right standing with God. Amen? But that's not the end of the matter. You now have to walk in that path He led you. That's called right living. It's also righteousness. Right standing should produce right living. There are two sides of righteousness. One is the start and one is the end. Amen. Now, when you don't follow what God is telling you to do, though you have a right standing with God, you will not benefit from the fruit of that righteousness because you did not walk the path. Hello? Are you with me? You have a right standing with God. Say, because I'm born again, I have become a child of God. That means that I have a right standing with God. It's not because of me, it's because of Jesus. Do you understand that? That's what Jesus wants for you. Because of Jesus, now you can approach the throne of God, not as a servant, but as a child. Amen? You can pray and expect God to answer your prayer because you know you are not just begging. You are a child in the house. Yeah? There are rights that belong to you. That's righteousness. But if that's where you stopped, you will miss the most of God's blessing for your life. Amen? Because righteousness as a right standing is an empowerment to produce righteousness in good works. Amen? And good works is not just giving to charity. It includes healing the sick, raising the dead. It includes rebuking the devil out of your life. It includes chasing sickness and disease away. It includes, you know, having breakthroughs and miracles. But when God is leading you, you need to what? Walk in the path. Amen? But you will not walk in the path if you are not willing. Are you with me? And that means if you are not willing, it's like not having shoes on. You will not walk in the path. Amen? That's why your attitude towards God and the things of God matters a lot. It can rob you of many things in life, a bad attitude. I'm telling you, you are still born again. You may be playing drums or singing in the choir every Sunday. It doesn't matter. Amen? You may even go in the streets and be handing out tracts. That doesn't matter. There are spiritual principles. Your attitude matters. That's why, look at the attitude of Jesus. Let this same mind be in you that was in Christ. That mind there is talking about attitude. He said that though he was equal with God, he took upon him, yeah, the nature of man. And came down. He humbled himself and obeyed God. Amen? That's a right attitude. Say, I need a right attitude towards God and the things of God. A wrong attitude can cut your blessing off. I'll stay there a while, but I need to explain this. Because sometimes, you know, it bothers me sometimes. You know, have you ever wondered sometimes you prayed about something, it's not coming through, and you feel like God has let you down. Until one day God opens your eyes and shows you that you're the one letting yourself down. I'll show you some examples of that. And God never stopped loving you all the while. It's just that you did not listen to what He was telling you. Open to Proverbs chapter 12, verse 28. Proverbs 12:28. We are looking at the feet shod or the shoes of readiness or preparedness or willingness. That's your shoe. Proverbs 12:28. Let's have someone who has not read today. Proverbs 12:28. Yes, anyone who has not read? Proverbs 12:28. Who is ready? Yes? Proverbs 12:28. Please follow in your Bible. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 28.
The way of the godly leads to life.
Please go again.
The way of the godly leads to life.
Yes.
That path does not lead to death.
That path does not lead to death. Another version. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 28.
In the way of righteousness.
The way. Listen to that. There is a way of righteousness. Yeah, continue.
In the way of righteousness is life.
In the way of righteousness is what? Life. Yes?
And in the pathway thereof there is no death.
And in the pathway there what? There is no death. So that's one of the topics we did in our fellowship in the recent past is the safest place. The safest place to be in your life is in the will of God. The safest place to be in your life is in the place where you are actively and effectively serving God. Any other place outside of that, yeah, is danger. In the way of righteousness is life. That means I want life. What do you need life for? I'm not talking of human life now. I'm talking of divine life. You need divine life to overcome your challenges and your problems. Am I right? Yeah. If you want divine life, where do you need to go? You go and start walking in the path of righteousness for His name's sake, or to bring honor to His name. When you are doing that, life, anointing will be pouring into your life. The reason why you don't have enough anointing in your life is that you don't have enough consecration to God. You are not committed. Please turn to your neighbor, smile at them, say, you have to be committed. It's not enough to warm the bench. Are you with me? God never stopped loving you. God loves you. We love you to the end. Amen? But your commitment, your consecration to the Lord will increase the anointing in your life. Amen? In the way of righteousness is life. I call that another word for that life is anointing. If you want a greater anointing in your life, to minister a breakthrough in your life, you need to improve in your act, in the way you treat God and the things of God. Are you with me? God will never reward you for your selfishness. Never! He will keep sending people to you to preach to you, to repent. Amen? When your attitude towards God and the things of God improves, greater anointing will come into your life. You may pray for long, but continue with the same bad attitude towards God and the things of God. That attitude will destroy your prayer. Are you with me? Some people, let me give an example like this. I'll give you two examples and we can move on. So for example, some people, now let me just minister this. So, for example, let's give an example in the church today, in Ellis Springs Church. Maybe, you know, as you've been coming to this church for a while, God has been ministering to you to do something. You know, to get involved and do something for God in this church rather than just coming. But you are not willing.
See the problem?
It's a problem. It has capped your blessing. Hello? It has capped what? Blessing. And there's no point fasting and praying about it. All you need to do is just become willing. Isaiah chapter 1 verse 13 says, if you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. Amen. Hallelujah. I know someone, for example, who, you know, they have refused, you know, when we talk about tithing and giving, they refused to tithe. Said they don't believe in tithing. I've known them for quite some years. They are in debt continuously. Finances upside down. Because, you know, they don't need to pray about it. It doesn't matter how much you pray. You have told God, I'm not going to do what you told me to do. Because I have other important things to spend my money on. You see what I'm saying? It's an attitude problem. Attitude. Somebody say attitude. It's an attitude problem. It's an attitude problem. It's more than the money. It's the attitude that you are not important. You understand? So that cuts you off. It doesn't mean that God will completely reject you. It just means that you cannot enter some blessings. Because there's an anointing that brings blessing. And that anointing is in the way of what? Righteousness. Amen? Now, if you want the things of, if you want the power of God to flow better in your life, your attitude towards God has got to be pure. You understand? So, Sammy said, anything I want to give to the Lord must be what? The best. He said, I won't even give God what does not cost me anything. Hallelujah. See, it's attitude. See, it's all about attitude. Are you me? Yeah? There are some people that, you know, say, no, I'm not going to. I mean, tithing is not the only example. I want to stay there a little. You know, I'm not going to. You know, one of the things you need to know is that, do you know that if problem comes into your life, all the money you've been saving can zap in one moment. You will slap. It will be more than the tithe you didn't pay. Amen. Are you with me? It's an attitude problem. I want you to understand. It's not about the money. It's about what? It's not only about the money. It's about what? Attitude. Hallelujah. That's what he said. You know what? He said, when you bring the tithes in storehouse, what will I do? He said, apart from opening the windows of heaven, I will because you see, the devourer may not come anytime, but the day it comes, all the things you've been withholding from God, he can zap it. But he said, what? I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. Is it for everybody's sake? I know some believers who claim that scripture, but they don't tithe. They are just wasting their time, because that rebuking devourer for your sake applies to the person that brings the tithe to what? The storehouse. Are you seeing what I'm saying? It's an attitude problem. Say attitude. Okay, let me just say a bit more there, and then before we move on, I want you to see how your readiness. He said, Lord, God is not looking for somebody who is the strongest. No. He's not looking for somebody who has never committed any sin. No. God is not looking for somebody who is the smartest. No. He's not looking for the person who is the most beautiful or the most handsome. No. He's not even looking for the best musician in the world to come and play in church. So, you know, someone say, if we can just bring the best musicians to play in church, the church membership will increase. Yeah, but that church member, see, the people will give you lots of trouble. You know, one reason why I encourage you to join the prayer cell? So that you will not be running to me every time to pray for you. Hallelujah. Because when you are doing some of these things, you yourself will be producing the miracle you need. Amen. If this is my job, it's part of self-preservation. Okay, that's not all. I'm just giving an example. God is not looking for the smartest or the you know, the most. What he's looking for is the willing. Say, what God is looking for is the willing. In Isaiah, he said, who shall go for us and who shall we send? You know what God is looking for? He's looking for, here I am. Send me. Or, here I am. Use me. Lord, I'm busy, but I can still manage one extra hour on Sunday morning to come and help set up the church. It's not convenient, but I can manage it. Whatever God is looking for. I may be tired. It's like that, I'll be tired, but I can still manage. God will not take that. He will bless it. Amen. Hallelujah. He said, yeah, my finances are tight, but I can readjust my budget. Amen. You see, giving or tithing is a matter of readjusting your budget. You never go into the fixed budget and say, oh, look at my budget, I can't. No. Take the budget, readjust it. You know, you're just readjusting it from 100% to 90. It's not the end of the world. But what you have done is that you are honoring God. Yeah? God will see what you've done. You just put in a little. You just lost 10% to honor God. But God will now use that 10%. It will multiply back to secure you financially. Somebody say amen. Someone say, when they're talking about giving church, people go quiet. They say, preaching pastor. Amen. I am destined to rise. Amen. You know, all my enemies are shutting down. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, the things you keep quiet to are the things you need most. Amen. Those things will help you to grow. Hallelujah. You will grow. You will know God better. You will love God better. And you will serve God better. Then you will have made it a good use of your life. Because you will get old one day. Please talk to somebody, smile at this, even if they are sleeping. Then I say, you will get old one day. So better start serving God now. Hallelujah. The Lord is good and all the time. Let me finish on this note. If you want great on featured, I'm gonna finish in summer. If you want greater anointing in your personal life, you have to increase your consecration or dedication to the Lord. Amen. Let me give another one. Please just repeat after me. If you want financial security, you have to partner with God in tithing. It's just a minimum. You know, in the New Testament, it's beyond tithing, it's generous giving. But that's a guideline, a benchmark. Amen? One more thing. Please say that for me. Say, no, actually, I will say it first so you can think on it before you say it. If you want more anointing in the church, in the Spanish church right now, yes, yeah, thank God for all God's name, but we want to see greater things. All right, there's a key. You have to learn to help, support, and pray for your pastor. If all you are doing is to pull him down or to make him overwork, it's reducing the anointing in the church. And you are the worst for it. Are you with me? A church that is not helping, supporting, or praying for their pastor, yeah, will lose the blessing that should flow from that pulpit to their lives. Amen? But a church that, I mean, remember the story of Moses? When they were fighting this war, and Moses' hands, whenever Moses' hands were up, they were winning. Then after a long time, Moses' hands were getting tired. Anytime Moses' hands went down, they were losing. So somebody gave somebody, the word of wisdom came to Joshua. I don't know whether it's Joshua and Caleb, or Joshua and somebody, or Aaron and somebody. Aaron. And then they found out the only way we can win this war is to go near Moses and hold his hands up. Amen? He comes back to you. Hallelujah. So we want to see great healing. The anointing is there. But when your pastor is discouraged, or is overloaded, yeah, or is demoralized, you have that anointing will not flow as it should. And whichever way you contributed to that through what you did or what you did not do, yeah, you are responsible. Hello? Are you still with me, sister? Praise the Lord! The Lord is good and all the time. Okay, let's move to the sheet of faith. I know I told you the first session I will preach. Did I preach well? Now I'm going to teach. Amen. There's room for preaching and there's room for teaching. A preacher proclaims the word. Yeah? People get saved through preaching. Amen? People come to repentance through what? Preaching. Then a teacher explains the word. Yeah? So people come to deeper understanding and they grow. Teaching will help you grow. Preaching will help you repent. Hallelujah. Just talk to someone before you forget. Say, preaching will help you to repent and be saved. In whichever area of your life you are missing it. Teaching, say that, will help you to grow. Because it will give you understanding. Okay, so now let's look at the shield of faith. And that's where I'll teach you about faith today. The shield of faith as weapon or part of the armor. And we finish there. Next week I'll treat about the sword and about praying. And you don't want to miss next week because the grand finale of this series. Yeah? And the revelation there is bigger. But I tell you, you're talking about revelation. Next week you will meet revelation in action. Amen. So go back to the diagram there, and we're looking at the shield of faith. Now, we need you to help me, because youth will react better under teaching. Amen? What is the function of a shield? So, you have a soldier, like that guy, and look at this. So, he already has, look at this. He already has the helmet on. He has the body armor or the breastplate on. He's already has his girdle or shield, belt on, and his shoes are on. So basically, you know, those things are in place. Why does he need a shield? Now think very well before you give me an answer. Now, I'm not asking you a spiritual question. I'm asking you a purely physical question. Why does that soldier need a shield? What is the function of a shield? You don't need it from the Bible. Just think about a shield. So the youth first. Just only youth. Yeah, you go.
To protect you,
yes. You not hit it. All the every part of the armor protects you. Do you agree? Just youth first. Youth. I know they are young adults, but just youth. Yes. What does the shield do for you? Shield, what does it do for you? Ah, you're there, help me. Just no spiritual answer, just physical. A shield in battle. What does it do for you? And why is it different from any other weapon?
It protects you from all the weapons coming.
It protects you from other weapons, yes. You're not yet hitting it. There's something a shield does for you that the other weapons cannot do. Because if they could do it, you don't need a shield. Think.
It protects you from all weapons, and to get to you to try and kill you, they'll have to go through the shield.
Not necessarily, but possibly. Yes. One more youth. We engage them. Oh, have you stopped being a youth? Hallelujah. A shield. What can it do for a soldier in battle that the other weapons cannot do? Because if the other weapons could do it, it's useless. Yes? Just any answer we do. There you go. Take it. Think and then give us something.
It defends you.
Yes, that's the best answer so far. Because, defend is more specific than protect. Yeah? All the armor protects you. Yeah? But a shield defends. Yes? Now, but nobody hit the perfect answer. So, adults now. Let's start from the back. A shield, what does it do for you?
It will protect.
Say that again.
Shield will protect your protection.
It will protect your protection, yes. It's still better. Yes, a shield, what does it do for you?
It can be used to protect any part of your body anytime.
Yes, eat another thing. A shield is a mobile weapon.
Yeah.
Whereas all the other weapons, apart from shield and sword, are static. Yes, you agree? That's a good one, I like it. Yes. Let's go for that. We are getting closer. It's mobile.
Instead of it in the same vein, it gives when you're vulnerable.
Yep.
It gives strengthens your limitations.
Yes. Yeah. Moving further. Let me tell you, a shield, because of its mobility, it can help you focus it in the direction of attack. Whereas the others are static. You can move your shield about to focus particularly on where the attack is. Yes, one more. Yes.
I think it protects you from a particular weapon, which is the arrow.
Put your hands together, brother, because it hit that one. And I tell you that answer, I didn't know it all my life until 1-2 weeks ago. I always thought of a shield like a shield protects you from a sword. Yeah. Isn't it? Is that not what you see, when you see gladiators fighting, shield and sword? But the Bible didn't say so. That's the only reason why I changed my mind. The Bible didn't what? Say so. It looks to me that the devil does not have a sword. Hello? Now I know this may beat your mind, but this is the word. I'll show you. Open your Bible to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 16. Yes, let's have our youth again. One youth and one adult from different versions. Ephesians 6:16. Ephesians 6:16. Yes. Ephesians 6:16. 6:16. Okay, anybody? Ephesians 6:16. Yes. Okay, we got a youth. Ephesians 6:16. Are you there?
In addition to these, hold up the faith.
In addition to all of these. Yes, go on.
Hold up the shield of faith.
Hold up the shield of faith, yes.
To stop the fiery arrows of the devil.
To stop the fiery arrows of what? It's specific, isn't it? It's very specific. Yes. Another version. Yes, let's ask the big issue, not read today. Ephesians 6:16.
Above all. Taking the shield of faith.
Taking! You have to what? Take it. Say, I have to take it. You can refuse to take it, sister. And you are still born again. But you refuse to take it. And you are complaining about the arrows. They will hit you. And you have to take it. Yes, continue.
Take the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all fiery.
All the fiery darts that are, you know, small, sharp arrows. They are all arrows of the evil one. Yes, of the wicked one. He's wicked. So just the devil is wicked. You cannot pacify him. Say that. I want you to understand that. Don't say, you know what? I don't want to be too spiritual. Yeah? I will just try not to offend the devil. You can't pacify him. He's wicked. Somebody who is wicked does things because they are wicked, not because they hate you. They're just wicked. They have wicked imaginations. Hello? He goes to and fro seeking for whom to what? Devour. And do you know who he will be able to devour? Those who don't have their weapons on. But if you have your weapons on, you are guaranteed that he can't devour you. Amen? You have no need to be afraid of the devil. You can resist the devil successfully. All you need to do is use your weapons. And those weapons, you don't need to buy them. They are provided for. You just need to put them on and take them. Okay? So, now, as I was reading the Bible, that's why it's important to read the Bible over and over again and in different versions, because Holy Spirit can give you a rhema, a revelation. I said we come to Revelation next week. Today, as we read it from New Living Translation, because King James says taking the shield of faith. But New Living Translation says what? Give me that version again. Ephesians 6:16.
In addition to all of this,
listen to that. Now, for those of you that said, well, you know, I'm born again, I have helmet of hope, I have breastplate of righteousness, you know, that's enough. He said, in addition. Yes? Hold up! That was the word. Can you see the point now? Hold up. So somebody, let's hold up the shield. Come on, let's hold up the shield. Come on, let's do it. Hold up. What is it protecting now?
Your head.
Yeah, because your head cannot be fully covered with the helmet of hope. Huh? Otherwise, you can't even know where you're going. Am I right? There is something in your head that the devil attacks with his arrows. I already gave you some clues. So let's go to the next question. So next question is this. Actually, I should have said that later, but it's okay. Let's see whether you got it. What exactly are the fiery arrows of the devil? So in your daily lives, yeah, the devil fires arrows. And like I told you just now, it looks to me that the devil does not have a sword. What he has is what? What he has is what?
Arrows.
Amen? What are those arrows? I'll give you somebody a clue. Yes? Okay, shall I help you a little? Well, let me see whether you can get the general description of the arrow. If you want to give me, I want a general description, then we go to specifics. There's a general arrow. So if you look at those arrows, that's a general name. How does the devil attack you?
I think he attacks by throwing doubts.
Doubts, yes. That's specific. I'm looking for general now. Doubt is one of the arrows, yes. But how exactly does he attack you through doubts? How? Where does he operate?
He will use all your feelings.
Feelings and what? One more.
And thoughts.
Everyone, put your hands together for someone. That's what I'm looking for. Hallelujah. If you can only understand now that when the devil wants to destroy you or defeat you, the first place he needs access to is in your thoughts and feelings. And I want to tell you something. The devil has access to your thoughts and feelings. It can whisper things in your ear. And if you don't know the word of God, or you are not in tune with the Spirit of God, you won't know it's the devil. You think it's you. Amen? You want to go to an exam and say, you can't pass. You think it's you thinking it. Sometimes it's you, but sometimes it's just a demon. So it comes out. You worked so hard. Last time, did you pass? Now, let's now look for those thoughts. So let's give you some examples of thoughts and feelings that the devil can introduce into your mind as an arrow. Brother Yemi said, doubt. I agree. Yes, let's have more. Arrows of the devil in real life. Fear, yes. Suicidal thoughts, yes. Arrows of the devil, let's go for it. Everyone should say something. Depression, yes. Evil imagination. He will just throw that wicked idea. Yes. We need more. Anxiety, yes. Worry, all that is in one dimension. All those groups, they got grouped together. Evil imagination is a different group. Yes. I'm looking for another group now. Yes.
Anger.
And anger has that's another group. Let's get the people in the group of anger. Strife, yes. Jealousy. Pride. Say that again.
Unforgiveness.
They're all in the group of anger. Resentment. That's another group. Group of anger. Bitterness. Hello. They are all what? Arrows of the devil. We will just introduce it. That's another group. Amen. Actually, every arrow of the devil can tempt you. Every arrow of the devil can what? Tempt. That's why they call the devil the tempter. Amen. Anything he introduces your mind is a temptation. There is such a thing as a temptation to fear. Do you agree? There is such a thing as a temptation to worry. Even imagination also comes as what? A temptation. In fact, if anything comes to your mind and it's not a temptation, then I should doubt whether you are born again. Because when the devil introduces something to your mind, it should tempt you. If it's at home in you, you are not born again. You don't know God. Amen? Because you're a child of God. So if something foreign comes in, it should come as a temptation, isn't it? I mean, for example, the Bible says God has not given us the spirit of fear. When fear tries to come into your life, it's a temptation. You are tempted to fear. Then if you don't do anything about it, you accept it, then you will be afraid. Are you with me? But if it's coming in and it doesn't even tempt you, you're far away. You're in the land of far, far away. Yes, more arrows of the devil. Okay, for time's sake, let me just tell you what I have. Actually, I can't list them all. I just have groups. So, negative thoughts and feelings. Not just thoughts and feelings, negative. Negative thoughts and feelings. Or ungodly thoughts and feelings. There's one group, fear, doubt, worry, and their brothers and sisters and cousins. There is, you have something? There is thoughts of anger, resentment, bitterness, unforgiveness, and all their brothers and sisters. There are thoughts of rejection and inferiority. Yeah? And that's another group, and their brothers and sisters. There are thoughts of discouragement and hopelessness and despair. Yeah? But there's one I just want to show you, that when we want to define temptation, especially the most of the type of temptation you get in the world, not from the devil, but through his system. The world is the devil's system. Yeah? You will see. So open your Bible to 1 John 2. 1 John chapter 2. Let's look at verse 15 to verse 17. So I'm looking to close in 10 minutes time. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 and 17. Yes, I need someone who has not read today. Ah, Sister Frida. 1 John chapter 2. Please open your Bible. Yeah, it's nearer to Revelation. Keep going. Just flip back from Revelation. 1 John chapter 2. We want to read from verse 15 to verse 17. While you get there, let's have it from King James or New King James. Are you there? Yeah. 1 John 2, 15 to 17. We have it from New King James. We have it from King James. Then we write it from New Living Translation. Yeah, go on.
Love not the world.
Love not the world.
Neither the things that are in the world.
Nor the things that are in the world, including all those things you are chasing after. You say, why?
If any man love the world.
If any man loves the world.
The love of the Father is not in him.
You know, one day I read this and I got a revelation. Now, actually, all these worldly things that are nice, if I begin to love them, that's when my heart begins to commit to them. The way to understand that love is that when you desire this thing more than your desire to know God, to love God and to serve God, it will come in and chase out the love of God from your heart. That's what it says. It says, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not. You know why the love of the Father is not? Because that thing will chase it out. Please continue.
For all that is in the world,
the
lust of the flesh.
The lust of what? The flesh. That is what your body desires. Yes?
And the lust of the eyes.
The lust of what? The eyes. All the flashy things that your mind desires, including nice clothes, nice shoes, nice car, nice nice what? What else? Nice what? Come on. Ah, nice jewelry. Mr. PJ, where is she? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yeah, continue.
And the pride of life.
And the pride. That's the group for ego. Amen. You know, the pride of life will make you do things that will dishonor God very badly. And you won't even notice because you are only concerned about yourself and your selfish ambition. Are you with me? You are just trying to preserve your ego, preserve your right, preserve your independence, preserve what you want. Say, this is what I want. He said, this is what I want. I said, I have a right to want what I want. So, but yeah, you have the right, but what about what God wants? Amen? What about what the Word of God has told you to do? It's not only about what you want, sister or brother. It's not. Yeah? To grow spiritually, you have, it has to be less of you and more of God. You understand? Because what you want, yeah, can easily be manipulated by the devil. Yeah, you can want something that will ultimately rob you of all the happiness you need in your life. And you will want it. Are you with me? Only God can help you modify your wants so that the wants will bless you. You don't want anything that will ultimately rob you of happiness. Then you start praying to God for happiness. But you wanted that thing, and that thing stole your happiness because you could not humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Are you listening to me? Yeah? Pride of life. So, the other group, or the last group of the things that the devil can introduce in your mind is lust and pride. Amen? You can be sleeping, having your normal dream. Yeah, a believer, you love God, you've not sinned. It is possible that in your dream, the devil can introduce a video, a short video of lust. Yeah? And if you don't deal with it, you wake up. You go and practicalize what you saw in your dream. They can show in your dream that somebody likes you. Amen? Then you wake up and start chasing them. Instead of you to wake up and rebuke that devil and renew your mind with the Word of God. Are you with me? He can sow thoughts of lust and thoughts of pride. I know a story of someone who, you know, the devil just came to her one day and told her, like, look, you know, you are beautiful, you have a nice voice. This sister was in the choir. You know, you are beautiful, you have a nice voice. You could be making a lot of money as a musician in the world. Yeah, it was the devil. So that, do you know the real story? Do you know the end of that story? That sister left church, divorced her husband, went to make money as a musician, but her life was ruined. Her end state that a demon took over her mind. All starting from a thought. Are you with me? Someone says, sow a thought, and what will you reap? An action. Character is a long way. I tell you. He says, sow a thought, what will you reap? An action. So an action, what will you reap? I like that. You will reap what? A reaction. Amen. God bless you. When you sow an action, yeah, you will reap a character. Everything, let me tell you, what you do all the time is your character. It may not be who you are in Christ. Don't misunderstand me. See, when what you are in Christ is spiritual. Now, God's goal in your life is to turn what is spiritual into physical. You are a child of God. Yeah? You belong to Jesus. So, God wants your character to become like Jesus' own. But it's a process of growth. Amen? But if you keep doing something, then it defines what? Your character. And then, so a character, what do you reap? A destiny. He said, my destiny is bright. It's bright. Glory. Actually, your destiny is bright in Christ. Amen? But ultimately, your destiny that you will live out in this world is a function of your character. Are you with me? So that's how the devil attacks. That's how the devil attacks. All those fairy arrows. But how do you defend? What do you need to defend the fairy arrows of the devil? What do you need to defend the fairy arrows of the devil? Shield of faith. That's why the Bible said, the just shall live by faith. Hallelujah. Do you know the opposite of faith? Do you know the opposite of faith? Open to 2 Corinthians. My son said on faith. Action, reaction. Faith, on faith. 2 Corinthians, I will finish on that note for time, and I will continue at that level next week. 2 Corinthians 5:7. So let me open that as the last reading today. Next week, I'll go a bit more into faith before I move into the sword. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. I want to show you the opposite of faith. So that if I can define it for you, you will know. And you will not, you'll not be watching out. Yes? 2 Corinthians 5, 7. Two readings. Yes? Are you there? Okay. God bless you, sister. I've been waiting for you. Finally, you've arrived. Yes? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. Please look in your Bible.
For we live by believing and not by seeing.
For we what? We live by what? Believing. Now, by believing is not just any believing. It's believing God's word. It's not even believing that is faith, people. Yeah? It's believing God's word. Yes? And not by what? Seeing. Another version.
For we walk by faith.
For we walk by what?
By faith. Not by sight.
So what's the opposite of faith? What's the opposite of faith? What's the opposite of faith? Sight. Amen? Sight is what we introduce unbelief into your life. Hello? Now, when I say sight, I don't mean your eyes. I mean your senses. Sense and reason will lead you out of faith. Say, I have a good brain. I'm smart. And I have my own emotions. If you keep following your emotions, you will miss God. I didn't say you may, you will. Amen? Can you be following your emotions? When you see nice food, yeah, but I tell you there, and you are fasting, and there's nice sizzling food, what does your emotions tell you? Eat! And there's nothing wrong with the food. It's not poisonous. It's nice, pure food. Cooking by a pure person. Yeah? But it will destroy a higher purpose. Amen? If you follow by reason and feelings, you will miss God. And you know why? Because reason and feelings is the domain of the devil. That's where his arrows operate. You know, we said the arrows operate in the mind as thoughts and what? Feelings. Your thoughts are reasons and your feelings. That's, so if you want to live your life just in the domain of thoughts and feelings, you have welcomed Satan into your life. Now, that doesn't mean you miss it all the time. But it means that every time you need to make a supernatural advancement, Satan will compromise you. Are you with me? Because he has access. He can influence. He said, the God said that you shall not eat. Can you see? He drew her from believing what God has said to looking at the tree. See, and then the woman did what? After the devil spoke to her, what happened to the woman? And then the woman saw. She saw that the tree was good and its fruit was pleasant. Hello. When the devil finished operating, he drew her back. Then she was saw and she desired it, and she ate it, and then she gave it to her husband. Are you with me? Reason is good, but it can be manipulated by either God or the devil. Yeah, feelings are unpredictable. That's why I say if you're always only targeting to be happy all your life, the devil will get you. He said, if I can, anything that makes me happy, I will do it. The devil will get you. Amen? Because if you take ice cream, will it make you happy or sad? You take ice cream.
Happy.
Glory. Hallelujah. But is it ice cream you need to grow? Huh? No. Are you with me? Yeah? That's why the just shall live by believing what God has said. And you can see the connection back to your attitude. Yeah? Your faith will work better if your attitude towards God is right. Amen? So when the devil throws those arrows at you, for example, he throws an arrow of lust, you come back to the scripture. Say, my body. Say, my body. That's what I do. That's what I do. Amen? I'm not free from temptation. He said, my body. Say that. Is the temple. of the Holy Spirit. I cannot count the number of times I've said that to myself. Because you need to remind yourself of the word. You are taking up your shield of what? Of faith. When devil comes, it says, you will just die. You know? If you sleep, you know, you cannot just say, nobody knows when you will die. I don't, yes, that's true, but I don't operate like that. The Bible says that with long life, will I what? Satisfy you. That's what I like to hold on to. You know? But, you know, any day I want to be, you just kill me. No, that's a bad prayer. Pray and say, God, give me the grace to continue to obey you. That's a good prayer. They are both prayers. One is stupid, one is intelligent, wise. Amen? So, devil comes to the thought, say, you know, you will die. He said, what? I will not die. But I will do what? Leave. But if you stop there, you didn't get the revelation. You see, if all you are doing is living for yourself, you don't have a basis to claim that scripture. Because I will not die, but I will live to declare the good works of God. That is, your purpose, your life is not valueless if you are not serving God. Sorry, I said that wrongly. Listen again. Your life is not valuable if you are not serving God. The purpose of living is so that you can propagate the good works of God. So you have a purpose now. So imagine if something happened to you, or you know, you fell. Something in your skin or your body, and that thought comes. You already know that you have a purpose, isn't it? So you resist it. You hold all that shit. You know what? With Lazarus, even just this sickness is not unto death. I will not die. I have things to do for God. I have places to go for God. I will live and I will fulfill my destiny. You have held up your shield of faith to destroy that doubt of the devil. So there's another one. Let me just read one more. He said, nobody loves you. You know, devil can tell you that. And he will tell you when you are feeling low already. Hello? He will not tell you when you are feeling high. He will tell you when you are feeling low. So what are you going to do? The Bible says, you know what God says? I loved you with an everlasting. You take it out. Hallelujah. Now, who is most important of your life? People of Hallelujah. He said, you have so source of rejection. He said, I will never leave you, nor forsake you. He said, you don't have any help. He said, so that I can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. You are taking up the shield of it. As many arrows, you know what about shield? You must take it up each time the arrow is fired. You don't have a choice. You see, it's not your choice to say, I took it up less today, I'm not going to take it up today. What I took up yesterday is working for me. It doesn't work that way. A shield responds to arrows. As long as those arrows are there, the shield must be taken up. Let's stop there. Right up. Let's pray. So next week, we'll finish this exposition on shield, and then we'll move to sword and prayer. Let's talk to God today. If you want to overcome and live a life that pleases God, you need to live by faith. And you know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It means that your journey of faith has not started if the word of God is not in your head and in your heart. So that means the first step to faith is begin to fill your life with the word. So today, just pray, say, Father, I receive grace to live by faith. I receive grace to resist the arrows of Satan by taking up the shield of faith. And you can see there is a connection between the shield of faith and the word. If you don't have the word that applies the arrow, how do you take up the shield? Faith is not abstract. It's based on the word. So Father, I say, I receive grace to spend more time in your word. I always challenge you this to said, go back online, listen again. Faith is coming. If you are lazy or procrastinating, you will not grow in faith. There's no magic to it. And you know, you can listen to a message while you are doing other things. It doesn't stop you. But what it gives you is that your faith will grow. So commit yourself today to spend more time listening to the word. Some are blessed in church. In fact, there are a lot of sermons website. You can go back and listen again. Your faith is become. You don't listen, no faith. What you have is sense and reason. And that's the domain of Satan. So receive peace and make a commitment to God. And you will enjoy the blessing of that commitment. Yes, Corporate Tola, let's sing a song to finish. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we give you praise. We give you praise because we have the victory over Satan. We give you praise because we can quench. We can stop all the arrows of the devil. That's what the Bible says. We can quench all. He says you can quench all. He says you can stop all. We give you thanks for that. That our victory is guaranteed in Christ. And we choose to walk in this victory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's just sing that hymn. When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. When we do his good will, he abides with us still, and with all who we trust and obey. When we walk with the Lord, in the light of his word,
in the light of his word,
what a glory he sheds on our way. When we do his good will, he abides with us still, and with all who we trust and obey. So what are you going to do? I will trust. One more time, yeah, we trust and obey.
Trust and obey.
Thank you, Father, for the victory.